John chapter 15. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read one verse, John chapter 15, verse number 13. I'm going to preach on this subject, the greatest sacrifice of all. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I love you has gotten to be pretty cheap. Matter of fact, I think it's said more in deceit than it is anything nowadays. Seldom heartfelt, and I think seldom understood. But God says, you know what? There's love, and then there's greater love. And you know what greater love is? If you're willing to lay down your life for your friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the message, Lord, in our short time together here in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. American history is full of stories of great sacrifice. Our country was birthed amidst the labor pains of selflessness and sacrifice. I want to read you something here, if I can find it. I want to give this to you because I think our young people need to hear it. I wrote this article for Glow in the Dark 4 or 5 years ago. It's called Developing Patriotism. I recently heard a veteran say, I believe that we have a generation of young people that do not know the meaning of the word patriotism. If that is true, and in many instances it is not, but if it is true, then it is because of a lack of correct thinking. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Correct thinking always produces correct emotions. Did you hear that, young people? Correct thinking always produces correct emotions. If you as a teenager feel that you are lacking in patriotism, there are several things you can do to remedy this situation. Number one, read American history. Read American history. Patriotism deepens as we understand and appreciate the price that has been paid for our freedoms by previous generations. A young person who remains ignorant of his country's history will never develop the depth of feelings that this knowledge produces. That means you need to stop mindlessly doing your history paces and start thinking about your heritage. Number two, spend time talking to some veterans. I recently had the privilege of spending several evenings working on a project together with a member of our church who is a dedicated war veteran. We spent most of these evenings talking about his experience in Vietnam. What he shared with me deepened my appreciation for the sacrifices made by men and women like him who laid their lives on the line to defend our freedoms. Young people, you ought to spend time talking to some veterans. Number three, sing and pledge intelligently and thoughtfully. Sing and pledge intelligently and thoughtfully. We are often guilty of committing the sin of vain repetition. By that I mean we go through the motions of pledging the flag or singing the Star Spangled Banner and other patriotic songs without letting their words touch our minds and our hearts. Read American history, talk to some of the surviving veterans, then think about what you have learned the next time you pledged our flag. The emotion that these things will produce patriotism, developing patriotism. Let me read you a little bit about the men that signed the Declaration of Independence. You talk about the sacrifice of those who went before. So the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army and other 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers, men of means, well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. His family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was also his reward. British soldiers vandalized and looted the properties of Ellery, Clymore, Hall, Walton, Gynnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson Home and made it British headquarters. Mr. Nelson quietly urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home. His home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife and she died within months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His field and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year he lived in forests and in caves and returned to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. These were some of the countless sacrifices of the American Revolution so that you and I could live in a free America, governed not by democracy of mob rule, but by a well-laid constitution. These were not wild-eyed fanatics. They were peace-loving, God-fearing, courageous American patriots who realized God gave them a heritage and they were going to have to give it up and they were going to have to sacrifice whatever it took to birth this country and give you and I freedom. God have pity on the Christian that doesn't realize where you came from. The history books, folks, and we could read on and on, but we can't for sake of time. The history books are full of examples of men and women that have made great sacrifice. If I could have the veterans, one at a time, come up here and each take just a few minutes, they could probably tell you, probably they would not tell you of their sacrifice, but they would tell you of the great sacrifice that they saw others that they served with give. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's one that gave the greatest sacrifice of all. All of the men and women that lay in graves that are marked or graves that are unmarked all across this world sacrificed so that we could enjoy some benefit here on this earth as Americans. But I want to take a few minutes and tell you about one that gave the greatest sacrifice of all, not so that we can just enjoy a few years of freedom and prosperity here, but so that we could have eternal life and ever, forever in heaven. I want to just give you a couple things to think about. Of course, the person I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. Someone died for you. Someone died for you. For when we were yet without strength, the Bible says, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Someone died for you. Someone died for you. Brother Jerry, someone died for me, yes. Are you talking about all of those gallant soldiers and veterans that have gone before us? Yes, but I'm going to tell you, there was a greater sacrifice than that made. Those men died so that you could enjoy freedom, but Jesus Christ died so that you could enjoy forgiveness and a home in heaven forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Brother Ron already shared this with us about the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Number one, somebody died for you. Number two, his death paid for you a great, great debt. His death paid for you a great debt. Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5, 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. All of these are verses from the Bible. When Jesus Christ died, he died for a purpose and for a reason. The reason that he died was so that he could take the sins of all of mankind and put them on himself and suffer and pay for my sin and your sin so that we would not have to die and pay for our own sins. I said somebody died for you, and I told you that his death paid for you a great debt. You see, you owe a sin debt. I owe a sin debt. I can decide to die and stand before God and pay for it myself, or I could say, hey, you know what? That's kind of foolish. Jesus already paid for it. And I can just simply accept him as Lord and Savior of my life and be born again. Let me share this with you. His death purchased for you a great gift. His death purchased for you a great gift. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We gave a small gift out to our veterans today to show a little bit of our appreciation for what they've done. But let me tell you something. God holds out to all mankind a greater gift that costs more than all of what the veterans have paid throughout all history. It costs the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And what he died for was to purchase for you a gift, and that gift is eternal life. For a minute, would you imagine something? Would you imagine up in heaven the very hands of God holding down from heaven's banister a wrapped gift, holding it out for you, pleading for you to take it? You know, there's something about a gift. Maybe this has happened in your life, maybe not. But you know what? You can go out and you can buy and you can purchase a gift. You can wrap it all up and you can hold it out to somebody. But you know what? That doesn't mean they have to take it. Now, most of the time, especially if they're children, they're going to take it. And most of the time, if they're men and it's from Gander Mountain, they will definitely take it. Amen. But I tell you this, that God paid a price and bought something more precious than anything that's ever been purchased. He bought salvation. He bought eternal life. He bought heaven. He bought forgiveness. He wrapped it all up and he's holding it up. And you know what? I'm afraid that people are ignoring it. I told you this morning when we were preaching on John 3:16 about a lady that misquoted that verse. She said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I'm not sure she misquoted it, because I'm afraid that in America, Jesus has become forgotten. Brother Jerry, what are we doing here tonight? Well, we're here to recognize veterans. You know why? Because most Americans don't spend 1 ounce of time, except a couple times a year for a few fleeting moments, remembering the price that was paid for our freedoms. But let me tell you something even more tragic than that. Millions upon millions of people trod this earth every day, and all Jesus is God's only forgotten son. They act like he didn't ever exist, like he never done anything for them, like he never paid the ultimate sacrifice for their sins. They walk right past every day God's pleading hands. They ignore the gift of eternal life. You know what? They're going to live life their way. They don't need God. They don't need anybody. They got their own set of beliefs. They say, "I'm going to be all right." But let me tell you something. As a gospel preacher, you're not going to be all right. "Except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ died for you, and one of these days you're going to face him. You can face him as a loving Savior. You can face him as your Savior who died on the cross for your sin, and you accepted that while you're here on earth. Or you can face him as one that scorned and ignored the gift that he bought for you and provided for you. But you can accept the greatest sacrifice ever made. You've got the power to accept it, or you've got the power to ignore it while you're here on earth. You can treat it, if you will, as unimportant. But let me just plead with you to accept this great gift that God's given you. I'm glad that we're taking a few minutes and recognizing and remembering those that have served our country. They need to be remembered. I tell our folks, I believe this. I think that on every vacation you take, every trip you take, if you possibly can squeeze it in, you ought to visit what I call America's 12 stones. You know, back in Israel's day, from time to time, when great miraculous events happened, they would create a memorial. When they crossed the Jordan River, they took 12 stones from in the midst of the river and went outside on the bank and built this memorial of 12 stones, one for every tribe of Israel. And they built it on purpose so that when their children and their children's children would see that, they would say, "What are those stones?" And they would tell the great story of how God delivered them. I'm going to tell you something. America, God's been good to America. Our country is filled with memorials resting on sacred ground where God performed a miracle and rescued a nation. And I'm afraid we never visit them. You know, we'd rather go ride the loop-the-loop than take a few minutes to walk around Gettysburg and understand that God saved and unified an entire nation at the day on Gettysburg. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have time to go visit memorials and think about those that have gone before us. Just a few years ago, me and my wife took our girls and we planned a trip to Washington, D.C. And we spent an entire day visiting all the war memorials and walking around and looking at that. And at the very end of the day, I didn't really mean to plan it this way. It worked out this way. The last thing we did was go to Arlington Cemetery. And we walked through Arlington, and folks, acres and acres of these crosses, each one representing somebody that paid a great sacrifice so that me and my children could walk around in a free country. And I'm going to tell you something. By the time I finished the day visiting all the war memorials, I stood there at the Vietnam Wall, Brother Ron. I'm going to tell you something. Just God gripped my heart, and I saw those names. I went to the other memorials and I kept thinking about all the men that had paid such a great price. I went to Arlington and I looked at all of these white crosses, and all of them, they were silent, but they all at the same time seemed to say something. We paid a price for your freedom. What are you doing with it? We paid a price for you to have what you have. Are you going to waste it? What are you going to do with your life, Jerry Ross? Just frivolously throw it away and spend your life running after foolish things and getting involved in sin and not doing anything for God? Listen, we've given you a chance. Well, we are not alive so that you could be alive. We are not free so that you could be free. And I sat there and watched the changing of the guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. I'm going to tell you something. If you've never seen that, it's such an amazing thing to see. We sat there and watched that ceremony. When we got done with that, we walked back to the car. And you know what? It was dead quiet. We got in the car and drove away from that, and it was dead quiet. You know what I thought? There's sacrifices upon sacrifices upon sacrifices that's been made so that we have the privilege to live in this country and the privilege to do God's work in this country. We better be busy doing it. Well, let me tell you something. As sad as it is that most Americans seem to care little or nothing for that, what's worse is that there was a sacrifice made 2,000 years ago on a mountain. The greatest battle that was ever fought was fought on Golgotha. And Jesus Christ won the victory that day. He shed his blood. He paid for the sins of all mankind. And America, of all the countries in the world, how can Americans day in and day out walk around as if God doesn't exist? As if Jesus never made that sacrifice? If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I pray that tonight will be the day that you receive Christ as your Savior. If you're a Christian here today, let me tell you something. If you're just spinning your life, spinning your wheels, if you're like a one-man rowing team in a canoe, and you're forgetting to flip the paddle from side to side, you're just paddling in circles, That's your life. What are you really accomplishing for eternity? Somebody died to give you a chance to do something about it. Somebody gave you eternal life. Now, what are you going to do about it? I just feel like in our country, we've been given so much. We have a great opportunity to do something wonderful with it. What are you doing? Well, Brother Jerry, I go to work. That's good. I spend money. That's good. I eat. I drink. I enjoy life. That's good. Is that what you're going to do your whole life and do what? Stand before God and tell Him what? Tell Him what you've done with the freedoms that you were given. Tell Him what you've done with the eternal life, the new life that He gave you through Jesus Christ. Visiting the 12 stones. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The greatest sacrifice of all was when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. The greatest sacrifice of all is when Jesus paid for your sins. If you're here this evening without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to receive Christ today. Oh, Brother Jerry, that's unimportant. It's not unimportant. It's critical. The only way to be saved, the only way to enjoy heaven as your home one day is to receive Christ as your Savior. I pray that you would. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us not to take the freedoms that we've been given, Lord, and just waste them. Like the prodigal that went to the far country, just waste them on sumptuous living. Just to spend our lives doing really nothing important. Help us, Lord, to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for Christians. Lord, warm our hearts. Give us a burden for America. I pray, Lord, for those that may be lost, that they'd be saved tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.